Yeah, Rice Storm. Rice Storm. We're bringing a storm. I see that a lot, though. Joe Rice Storm. We got a storm going. Okay, today, November 12th, I got a few things I want to share with you. Some Bible verses and a couple of testimonies of some of the things God's doing. Just got back from Taiwan and then Thailand. And then Hong Kong and China. So that's where I was when I was gone there, September, October, that time. Wonderful things are happening. And we live in exciting times. Live in exciting times. Okay, let's look at a couple of verses here, and then I'll share some testimonies too. I wanted to do this one. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by reading the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's 70% of the world's population cannot read. So hearing is important. Okay? Over 1,000 times the Bible says, and God spoke. And God spoke. We, as people, started writing things down, okay? But it was God, he spoke. So it's important to be hearing the Word of God. A person who cannot read and write can hear the Word of God. Okay, this is important. And then our faith will increase. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. All right, our faith is going to be cumulatively increased by hearing the Word of God. That's why I have my audio Bible, dramatized audio Bible, going all the time where I am. Wherever I am staying, I keep that thing going. So it's on at night when I'm sleeping. I'm listening. And then my faith is coming more and more. It's being increased cumulatively because I'm hearing the Word of God. Now, that's not only refers to hearing the Word of God, the Bible, orally. If you read the Bible to somebody out loud, your faith is going to increase and their faith is going to increase. Okay? Or if you have somebody read it to you. Okay, I have friends who are reading the Bible to each other and their faith is increasing. Okay? It's important. That's the way God set it up. So we hear his word. But it's not only the Bible, but it's the word of the Lord. Okay, when we came to the end of the Bible, and you're reading the end of the Bible, it doesn't say there, okay, I'm not going to say anything else. It doesn't say that at the end of the Bible. Okay, that's done. I'm not going to say anything else. Here it is. No, he keeps speaking in many ways that he keeps speaking. Okay, we need to be tuned in to what God is saying today. Okay, you know, when they wrote the Bible, the 66 books, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have computers. We need the Word of the Lord for today, right? Today. Not only the Word that we have written down, the Word of God, hearing that, but we need to hear what God is saying today. That's why we live in exciting times. Okay, let's go to another one. James 5:17. Elijah was a Superman. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, same thing, right? I like this version. Elijah was a man with human frailties just like all of us. Okay? It doesn't say Elijah was a Superman. It says Elijah was just like you and me. He prayed and received supernatural answers. But he's just like you and me. He actually shut the heavens over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. And there was no rain for 3.5 years. No rain. There's 3 million people in the nation of Israel at that time. It's an agricultural society. 3 million people are saying, God, give us rain. God, give us rain. One person was saying, Lord, stop the rain. why did God answer one person's prayer, not 3 million? This is so interesting to me, because I always had, let's get a bunch of people praying, and we'll see God move. Apparently, we're supposed to be praying what he wants, and you'll see him move. So we need, Elijah knew what God wanted. He prayed that way. One person prayed that way. Boom, no rain for 3.5 years. We can do the same, because he was just like you and me. We can pray what's on God's heart and see supernatural answers. We can receive supernatural answers. Okay, then this actually goes back to Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal. So that is from the next one. 1 Kings 18:42b and 43. Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. This is after the destruction of the prophets of Baal. Okay, you know, they had a duel. There was a challenge there. There was a duel, and they lost. Prophets of Baal lost. Now, I looked up Baal worship, and basically there was three things involved. Number one, sacrifice of babies in this time. Number two, there was a perverted sexual activity. And number three, there was an overemphasis on environment. Okay, now I thought when the prophets of Baal were destroyed, we'd be done with it. It's still here, because it's a demonic thing. It's a demonically driven thing, all right? Overemphasis on the environment. All right, so Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, where he bowed down to the ground with his head between his knees. So even though Elijah had the word of the Lord, he still prayed. He still prayed. And here we see he bowed to the ground with his head between his knees. That is the position of humility. Humility is simply not wearing a mask. Wearing a mask, trying to be somebody that you're not, is pride. Okay? But humility is just being known for who you are. But he takes the position of humility, and he starts to pray. Now, he's praying in this position of humility. He's got a helper there, and he's got the word of the Lord. I'm going to make it rain. It's not rained for 3.5 years, and I'll tell you when, and then you pray, and we'll get rain. He's got the word of the Lord. It's going to rain. But he's there, and he's praying in the position of humility, and he asks his helper, hey, can you go see if there's a cloud? And the helper runs to the edge of apparently where he could see the sky and looks around, and he said, no, there's no clouds. So Elijah kept praying. Another time he said, can you check again? See if there's a cloud. Comes back, no cloud. Elijah keeps praying in the position of humility. Can you check for a cloud now? Helper comes back, no cloud. And he keeps doing this 7 times. Finally, the 7th time, the helper comes back and says, I see a cloud. I see a cloud on the horizon. It's about the size of a man's hand. Elijah says, okay, that's the start. Let's go. And he goes on from there. He did not quit praying until he saw something, even though he had the word of the Lord. He wanted to see evidence of his prayers. So Elijah did not quit. We have this thing in YWAM. When we run into tough situations, we say, hey, we're YWAMers. We hear Jesus, we obey him, and we do not quit. We do not quit. So we see Elijah here with this attitude of humility, and he does not quit praying until he sees things start to happen. All right. Let's go on a little bit. Thailand leaders gathering in Thailand. We had 700 leaders from 90 different nations. And one of the things that happened, we had a few speakers, but the speakers weren't as many or as significant as our worship time. We had worship in the morning. We had worship in the evening. And we let the worship go. So as 700 leaders from 90 different nations, we lingered in the presence of God. Every morning, we would just linger. The songs that we were singing, they would just keep playing and keep playing. And we were just sitting before the Lord, enjoying His presence. And then visiting around our tables. The visiting around the tables was not as important as the worship and staying in His presence. The speakers were not as important as sitting in His presence. Morning and night, before anyone spoke, before anything else happened. That's one of the things that I really took back from our 700 leaders from 90 different nations. We call it a global leadership, global gathering, global leader gathering. That was in Thailand. So I was there about 10 days or so, and then went back in to China. And then in Hong Kong, we had a group. We wanted to gather our staff in Hong Kong, our YWAM Hong Kong staff together. And so we did that. We had planned this day for October 7th for 6 months. We said, hey, October 7th, we're going to meet outside and have a barbecue, have worship, and have fellowship. And let's see what the next one says here. I can't remember what the... Oh, Hong Kong staff gathering. Okay, there. Hong Kong staff gathering, October 7th. And October 5th, the weather comes out. The weatherman in Hong Kong comes out and says, we got a typhoon coming, and it's going to hit here on October 7th. Everything in Hong Kong is going to be shut down because this is a big one. This is a big one coming. So that was on the 5th. On the 5th, the big typhoon is coming. And they had charts and everything all about it. And the big typhoon was coming. It was going to be a direct hit. And so all of us, because we said, Lord, we set this date up, October 7th, to meet and gather. And we think it's important for us to be face-to-face. And we're not sure all of why, but we're going to pray that this typhoon does something else. Go away. We were referring to Jesus speaking to the storm in Mark chapter 6, where he just speaks to the storm as he's walking to the disciples in their boat. And they're rowing, and they're having a tough time rowing because they're fighting the wind. Jesus walks on the water, comes up to them, and he gets in the boat, and he says, peace, be still, and whew, the wind stopped. Now, you know, they travel. They use their little sails for the wind, right? So now they've got to row all the way back to the shore because there's no more wind. But Jesus spoke to the storm and stopped it. So we said, I think we can do that. It's one of the spiritual gifts from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 and following. One of the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is working of miracles. And we saw Jesus all through his life using the gift of working of miracles. Basically, what working of miracles does is you change supernaturally, not naturally, you change supernaturally the principles, the physical principles of the universe, the principles of physics. You change them supernaturally with working of miracles. So that's where you use that particular gift when you multiply food, which Jesus was doing all the time. His crowds were getting bigger, and he was feeding them, right? We have two, one of the 4,000, one of the 15,000. We have two listed in Scripture, but that happened all the time. They would chase him around the Sea of Galilee, meet him at the next place he was going. And he had to feed them there, too, because they'd sit for 3 days. So he was always using this gift of Holy Spirit. So we used it here, speaking to the storm. Okay, Lord, we just need the gift of working of miracles. Would you help us here with this storm situation? And I think I have this is the speed is the green, blue, pink, red. All right. Red is fast. That's a fast moving storm and winds over 100 mile, up to 100 miles an hour or over. Okay, so the next one is a blow up of that. There you go. The arrow is the 5th of October. I had to take a picture of this off of the observatory, okay? And then I blew it up here. The arrow I put on the arrow, that is the 5th of October. And that's when we started praying. Look what happens after the 5th. Because we said, Lord, we feel like we're supposed to meet. You gave us this date 6 months ago. Here we are. Now they say there's going to be a typhoon. And what happened immediately, the 5th and the 6th, the typhoon slowed down, and it also went back out to sea. That's right after we started praying. I say, you get a bunch of people, a bunch of Christians praying, they can see lots of stuff happen. Ooh. That was October, so it's still true today, isn't it? Get a bunch of Christians praying, and we can see stuff happen. So here it is dropping back into the ocean and slowing down. The pink is the slowdown. And on the 7th, we had perfect weather. I think there's a photo of the next one. There we are on the 7th of October, meeting outside in the courtyard with the barbecue. All the food is out on the right-hand side there. We were missing about 25 of us because there was some sporting events inside China, and they were Asia Games were inside China, so we had a lot of our sport people inside China. So we're missing about 25, but there we gathered on October 7th in the middle of what was supposed to be the typhoon, and we fellowshipped and worshiped. Now, here's something interesting, and we didn't know this was going to happen, but our founder died October 6th, the day before we met. So we had time to be face-to-face, pray for him and his family, pray for our mission, and pray for each other. Okay, and then we had worship where we just lingered in his presence. We waited. We sat in his presence. So that's the courtyard where we met, and everything was going to be outside, our barbecue, our food, our sitting. But the typhoon, which was going back out to the sea, cooled it off. So it went from 95 degrees down to about 80 degrees, very pleasant, with a nice cloud cover. So it was a beautiful day for our staff gathering. Okay. I don't know what I have next. Oh, okay, back up one. You can look at the family, look at the people there. We call these gatherings, we don't call them meetings, because we're like a family, and so we gather as a family, and that's important. We're just gathering as a family. So I'm going to share a testimony of a few years ago. We wanted to, we were taking one big team into China. I was leading the whole group. And we went to the top of a mountain to speak to people in this village on the top of a mountain. And it was 6 hours to get up there. Now, the advantage of that is that the police don't go up there because it takes 6 hours to hike up the mountain, okay? It's too far for them to bother. And there's so few people up there. But we wanted to share with this village, tell them about Jesus. And so we had about 16 of us, and then we had a few helpers, about four helpers. So we had 20 people that went up to the top of the mountain. We actually stayed there 3 or 4 days, shared the gospel, prayed for people, and started a small group. We had probably 15, I suppose, people, maybe 12 people that came to Jesus up there. And then we had other peoples coming and helping bring them together. And then we came back down the mountain. But we're 16 people, so in this particular nation, we split up. It's easier to hide 8 people. So we travel on buses and trains and come into cities. 8 people is easier, 5 to 8. But if you got 16, you take up every seat in the bus. If you got 16 people, it's just difficult to get rooms, difficult to find things. Plus, the people watching saying, why are 16 foreigners traveling together? And they want to know, and they'll chase us around. So we split up into groups of 8. And here's what I told each group of 8. I said, okay, we're going to listen to Jesus, and you're going to follow him, you're going to obey him. Whatever he says to do. Ask him where you're supposed to go for this next week. And so this group of eight did that, and the group I was on of eight, we did it, and we got our plan all made. We figured we got the bus tickets, and we left in the morning. We figured we're supposed to go over this mountain, come down into the city, and pray and in that city and see if we can find some divine appointments. So that's what we did. We took off. Now, it took us a whole day and a half, I suppose, to get to the city that we were going to. And we came into the city. We found a place to stay. And so we moved into this guest house. And we had a dormitory for the guys and a dormitory for the girls. And so we were in this guest house. And we were praying for what we were going to do the next day. All of a sudden, there's all this noise in the hallway. And I said, what's all this noise in the hallway? And so I went over to the door and opened the door and looked in the hallway. It was the other team of eight. I said, they're walking down the hall. I said, what are you doing here? I said, we're here. They said, we just asked Jesus what to do. And now we're obeying. He said, come to this city. When we got to the city, we didn't know what to do. So we said, Jesus, lead us to a place to stay. He led us to this place. I go, what? Okay, let's act like we don't know each other, okay? You stay in your rooms, do your thing. We'll stay in our rooms and do our thing. Just stay away from each other, and we'll be able to move better in this city. And so we did that for a couple of days. And our team was actually praying, and we looking at the map of the town, and we saw that there was a university about a half hour outside the town. So as we prayed, the Lord said, go to that university on Wednesday. We said, okay. So we did a lot of work in the city, meeting people, talking with people. On Wednesday morning, we go out to the bus station. We get on the bus, and we are going to go to the university today. And we're sitting on the bus. I remember this like it was yesterday. We're sitting on the bus, and the door for the bus opens up, and all these people get on. It's the other team of eight. I look at him, I said, what are you doing here? We're trying to go to the university. They said, we've been praying, and the Lord said, go to the university on Wednesday. This is Wednesday. So we heard him, and we're obeying. I said, okay. There's no way out of this, because the bus is now just full of 16 people. It's us. We all know each other. I said, okay, well, we'll see what happens at the university. So the bus drives for half an hour. We get off the bus, and we're walking up to the gate of the university. They have a road that goes in with a big gate. And so we walk into the gate all together. We walk into the gate. You can't hide now, okay? We walk into the gate all together. And here, stretched from one light pole on one side of the street to another light pole on the other side of the street across the road, is a big red sign that says, today is Speak English Day. We looked at each other and said, can you believe that? That's why God brought us there at the same time. We heard him. We're obeying. We all ended up on this particular campus the same day. All the students just attacked us to practice their English. The students thought that the administration was kind to them and set up all these foreigners to come and practice with them. We practiced our English all day, and by the end of the day, we had seen about 16 people come to Jesus. With that particular university, we kept coming back every month for about 5 years, so that we got through all the classes, the freshmen through the seniors, and we taught them to disciple each other, and we saw more and more people come to Jesus. Amazing. But we heard God, and we obeyed him. And we did not quit. And that's the word for today. Elijah did not quit. He heard God. He had the word of the Lord. But he prayed in an attitude of humility. And he did not quit until he saw the changes. Each one of our teams of eight heard Jesus. They obeyed him. And they did not quit. They kept following step by step. This is the word of the Lord for us today. Do not quit. Just say this with me. We don't quit. We don't quit. So we continue to pray, in an attitude of humility, and we do not quit. All right, this is important, especially as we live in these exciting times. We have the word of the Lord. We see a lot of things happening, but we need to come in, stay in humility, and continue to pray without quitting. All right, so let's stand up. I think what the Lord wanted to do today was to impart to us, I mean, a lot of us already have that. From things that we've been through, we've already got the do not quit attitude, right? Okay, wherever your do not quit attitude is, he's going to bring it up a notch. He's going to bring it up a notch, okay? So wherever your do not quit attitude is, whoo, this is an impartation. He's going to bring it up a notch, which we need. All right, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. And Lord, thank you that we have so many great examples in the Bible of not quitting. And we have examples in our own lives of not quitting, and around us with our friends of not quitting. Lord, we take that and we ask you, Lord, for the do not quit attitude. Would you kick it up a notch in each of our lives today? Kick that up a notch. And Lord, we receive that. Just like we receive your love, we receive this kick it up a notch. We receive that. The do not quit attitude rising in our own lives personally. Thank you, Lord. We will move forward in humility, and we will not quit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, everyone say wow. God is good. And we're just excited about that. Thank you for sharing that, Joe. What a neat deal. Yeah, we're blessed. We are so blessed to have that. So receive the blessing of the Lord. And may the Lord bless you today and overwhelm you with his goodness. And may the Lord keep you in the palm of his hand. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you so that when we look at unbelievers, they'll see the shining face of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you that you bless us indeed. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can go forth in the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we don't quit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great rest of the day.